Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. Welcome to this week's podcast. And this week, I'm doing something a bit different. And I'm going to be sharing with you the, I think it's five or six things that I don't want to tell you, or that I'm scared to tell you, or that I'm like, oh, I really shouldn't share on a podcast. So that is what I'm going to be doing today. And we're talking about a couple of juicy, hot topics that I have steered clear from sharing my views on just because I don't know, I like everyone to agree and I want people to like me, but I think would be really helpful in that this episode should hopefully help us to get to know each other a bit more. You can get to know me a little bit more. I know the work I do as a holistic nutritionist, I find out loads of vulnerable information about other people. So I feel like it's only fair that I share a little bit of vulnerable information with you. Also will help you to just see how my brain and my thinking work around certain issues and hopefully encourage you to ask questions and do the work and make your own decisions and your own viewpoints on things. And if anything, my main goal of this podcast is just so that you can hear someone's views and beliefs and values and things that are maybe different from your own, but that might just help you to question your own practices, beliefs, and values. Even if they don't change, I think questioning ourselves is something that's really helpful, and questioning the world around us is an uncomfortable thing to do, but it's actually a really helpful thing to do. Otherwise, you can kind of find yourself sometimes feeling a bit like a sheep, just being like, I don't know why I do this, and you're just kind of following the general noise of the media and news without realizing. So that's what we're looking at today. I know it's a little bit different, but I thought, you know, I often share really strategic, practical, nitty-gritty, poo, hormone-based podcast, but I thought this might be a fun change. So let me know your feedback if this is helpful, if you enjoyed this podcast. Also, if you are listening to this in real time, so this is coming out on the 28th of October, if you are listening to this before the 1st of November, then just know I am, if you're looking to work with me privately, in my online nutrition clinic, this is your last chance to do so before I go on maternity leave. And I am offering and created a 6-week intensive program that's a much more affordable price point than my 4-month program. And there is currently 5, maybe 4 spaces available. So if they are interested and you do want to work with me and you've been wondering about that, you do need to act really quickly. The deadline for signing up is the 1st of November. So, quick. The time is of the essence, as my mum would say. So just so you know that. Also, if you have not done my gut goddess quiz, which you can do at keziahall.com/quiz, make sure you do that. That's got loads of free stuff. You might not be ready to work with me one-to-one yet, but that would be a great place to start. You can get an idea of what's going on with your health and then a whole information pack based on what you can do. So those are a couple of other things to keep in mind. Otherwise, I'm just trying to think if I have any life updates. I mean, no. I made some cookies the other day. I tried to bake with my son. If you follow me on Instagram, you'd see. Because I have super fond memories of baking with my mum. Used to do it all the time. She was a great baker. And I love to bake. So I was like, yeah, let's bake together. Oh, total nightmare. I mean, I was probably tired and grumpy and he was probably tired and grumpy. So, I mean, I will persevere and press on, but just, you know, it's not always like Instagram, you know, like you see like these pictures of like, just me and my child, just baking some cookies and baking our sourdough bread together. Isn't it lovely? No, it involved like a lot of screaming, a lot of timeouts and me basically eating a lot of the cookie batter. I haven't actually even made the cookies. The cookie dough is just sitting in the fridge, because we didn't even make it that far. We both needed a timeout. So yeah, just some real life parenting going on for you there. Otherwise, I'm on the last day of my Balance and Happy Hormones program, which has been so fun. I love doing these group programs, and it's the last one I'll do. I'll probably do one again, maybe at some point in 2021, but I'm not sure. I'll go on maternity leave in the middle of January, and I don't know when I'll be back. Essentially, I'm going to say I'm doing shared maternity leave with my husband. So I'm not going to be gone for a year, probably just a couple of months, but we'll see. You never know what these babies will bring me. So that's the joy of working for myself, is that I can play this whole maternity leave thing completely by ear and basically do whatever the heck I want, which suits me fine. Anyway, I'm rambling. So let's get on with today's episode. Well, I'm gonna share with you some things today that I don't really want to share with you, or that feel scary to share with you. I first heard of this concept or podcast doing something similar. I think it was maybe on the Jess Lively show, and then I heard another podcaster called Jenna Kutcher do an episode. This is probably ages ago now, and there was kind of a few podcasters doing it that I thought, and at the time I was like, oh, that's cool. / why would you want to do that? And then recently the idea popped into my head and I was like, oh, that sounds like a terrible idea. But also, yeah, that might be really good to do. Things that I find scary most of the time, especially in business and in communicating and in sharing who I am with people, I tend to find are actually the things I really need to do, if that makes sense. You know, when you feel that kind of, sometimes things are scary because you shouldn't do them. Like, I remember bungee jumping off a bridge when I was like 20 years old, and it was awful and I hated it. So now when I think about jumping off a bridge, I'm just not going to do it. That's the scariness that I'm just not going to do again. I didn't enjoy it at all. But this kind of scariness when it comes to being vulnerable and sharing a bit of myself with you, actually, I think tends to sometimes be quite good. And it also will give you a bit of an insight into a little bit about me. I know I come across as a really extroverted, out there person where you know lots and my life's on the internet, but actually I intentionally keep a lot of things back that I don't share. I am one of these people that, if, to be honest, I wasn't running a business, I probably wouldn't be on social media. I love connecting with you guys, and so that's the main driving factor. I love the kind of relationships that can get built. And I love the relationships that I build with my clients. It's partly why I really enjoy what I do as a holistic nutritionist, is that kind of diving deep. And essentially, I'm always asking my clients to be vulnerable and share a lot of information with me. So it kind of feels fair to kind of balance that sometimes. And I know that a lot of you on Instagram and emails and stuff share lots of information with me. So anyway, I'm going to share with you a couple of things that I'm a bit like, oh, I don't really want to share this with you. And the reason I don't want to share it with you is just because of fear of judgment. That's all. It's not because they're things that I'm still processing or still struggling with. I'm really comfortable with all of these things, really at ease with them. But I, you know, I'm a recovering people pleaser, and I want everyone to like me and everyone to agree with me. And I don't like confrontation. I like us all to agree on the same uniform thing. But actually, that's not how the world works. And that means I've been missing out. And that means we all miss out on richness if we all just are like little uniform robots. Anyway, so I'm going to share with you, I think it is, oh, it's maybe 6 things that I have thought and have been a part of my thinking and way of life for many, many years that I don't share about on here. Sometimes that's just because it's not necessarily directly applicable to this podcast, which is an educational kind of podcast, and so it just doesn't fit in. And some of it is more to do with just what people think of me, to be honest. So I'm going to start with a big hot button topic that I'm not actually probably going to share more on unless people want me to, just because it is it's a very emotive topic. It's not a very black and white topic, despite what we are made to believe. And it is a bit controversial, and it's something I would rather probably have a conversation with in person. But I want to talk about vaccinations. And I haven't vaccinated my son. We decided to delay his vaccinations until he's 2 years old. He is now 2 years old. And so we are reassessing that. We're kind of reviewing that policy in our house. With the twins, I will not be vaccinating them at 8 weeks or starting that program. Again, I will delay that till they're at least 2 years old. And me and my husband are currently diving into the research again in terms of, okay, should we start the vaccination process now, or are we just going to say no until he's much older and wants to, you know, go traveling and those kinds of things? And that feels like something that is not a very popular opinion. I don't share it with people unless they directly ask, but it is actually something I am really passionate about, not necessarily about the outcome, but really about it's just an extension of this idea of radical responsibility and being really aware. Question everything. And that's a philosophy that we have as a family. And that is helped by the fact that both me and my husband love to learn, and we both quite like research and have research background, me with my postgraduate degree and my husband with his PhD. So we are that kind of geeky way inclined. So I know this isn't for everyone, but it is a reason, it's a decision we came to just based on, I remember in pregnancy reading through a couple of research about vaccinations. I will say with vaccines, I don't think it's as black and white as people make it seem, both for the pro and against parties make it look very black and white, like all vaccines are terrible, that make your child autistic, blah, 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 blah. And then the other side of it is like, if you don't vaccinate your child, it's like murdering your child and other people, and it's selfish for society. And it can be very emotive and appear to be very black and white. But when I've dug into the research, and I'm no expert researcher, it doesn't appear to be very black and white at all. And the conclusion I came to was ultimately, okay, Kezia, what risk are you happy to live with? What risk do you feel most peaceful with? The risk of vaccinating your child and then reacting to it with vaccine injuries, which whilst haven't been documented in official research because no one wants to pay for it, there is so much anecdotal evidence and stories, meaning just people's personal experience, people that I know of, people's stories that I've read of, documentaries I've watched, where people have very obviously vaccinated their child and seen a very clear vaccine injury and a change in development and process and behaviors. Now, obviously that doesn't happen to every single person, but that is a percentage that can happen. So when I was looking into the research, I realized this isn't a black and white issue. It's not very clear. It's ultimately my role as a person and as a parent to decide what risk I feel most comfortable to live with. Do I feel comfortable living with the risk that I don't vaccinate my child and they get measles and become infertile, for example? Or do I want to live with the risk or that maybe we do start the vaccination at 8 weeks and they maybe develop autism or have a strong vaccine reaction or develop seizures after the vaccination, or these either other kind of post kind of vaccine injury things that can come up and that you can read about if you are interested. So that was kind of ultimately what I decided. And for me, based on knowing what I know and the expertise that I have, and just on my trust, to be honest, of the bodies, I trust my body and my immune system and nature far more than I trust pharmaceutical companies or even government and public health strategies. That's the stance that I have come to through my own experience. I know it's not a perfect stance and there's flaws in that, just as, you know, flaws in various things. But that was ultimately what I felt more comfortable with. Also with other countries, I think it's Japan and several other countries don't actually begin an immunization program until the child is 2 years old. And that's not an uncommon practice. So once looking at that evidence, and also the real actually clincher for me was when there were some papers that came out in 2016 and another paper that came out in 2017 that was basically just an independent, or as far as I can remember, an independent study looking at what was the ingredients in vaccines. So in order for a vaccine to work, you have to basically irritate the immune system. Let's just say basically, you have to create that immune response so that you build an immunity in theory. But when they looked at because vaccines don't count as a drug, they actually get classified as a different, let's just say, substance. So they're not under the same regulations as other medications. So for example, if you take statins or any medication, any pill that you take, it has undergone some very rigorous kind of double-blind placebo trials, looked at side effects for quite a number of years before it's allowed to be prescribed. Vaccines don't fall into that category. So there's never actually been that rigorous testing of vaccinated children versus unvaccinated children. There's never been a double-blind placebo trial when it comes to vaccines. And there's not that much research in terms of the side effects, because things kind of just get shushed up a little bit because it's such a high... if we introduce a new vaccine into the industry, it's it adds billions to that pharmaceutical company. This is just from the research I'm aware. Obviously, I'm no expert of this, but so when it comes to these papers, I was like, well, yeah, irritating the immune system, forcing the body to build immunity, that does make sense in a way. But how are they doing that? And the several papers showed that the amount of heavy metal, specifically, I think it was aluminium, in these vaccinations getting given from 8 weeks year old, 8 weeks onwards, was really highly toxic. So with all medications and drugs that that we are allowed to prescribe, doctors are allowed to prescribe, do contain heavy metals, but they always have to come under a certain level, just because mercury, aluminium, all of these things are obviously toxic to your system. But a little bit of them can really help with these more kind of immune adjusting vaccinations and drugs. But when they actually looked into some of the vaccinations, they found that the actual levels of aluminium in these vaccines were incredibly high, and much higher than the government guidelines or the government kind of policy, let's just say, in terms of how much aluminium you can actually put in, if that makes sense. So it works out with like an 8 week year old that they're getting, this is off the top of my head, I can't remember the numbers exactly, but like 100 times more exposed to 100 times more aluminium than they should do for their weight and size and development of life. So that was the main clincher for me. I'm aware of some of my own genes and my own genetic predisposition, which means I struggle with detoxification anyway. I was aware that there's a good chance that I've passed that on to my son. I haven't tested his genes yet, but I will at some point. And that I remember having some milder vaccine injuries as a child that I remember feeling very ill after having them, and getting splodges and rashes and swelling up in my legs and all of these different kinds of things as a young child. So I was aware that he might be someone that is not going to detoxify very well from such high levels of heavy metal exposure. So that's kind of why we did it. It's been something I've not wanted to talk about because I don't like confrontation, and I really do come at it. I really understand both angles. I'm a very empathetic person, so I can really understand both angles. I also don't think it's that black and white. I think but I am really passionate about questioning everything. You know, when I look at the last century, so many preventable health issues have been accelerating. Even in the last 20 years, autism is just the exponential growth of autism diagnosis is phenomenal, especially in boys. And whilst I don't think there's a clear-cut answer in terms of the cause of that, I do think questioning everything and being really aware of toxic exposure and our environmental factors do play a really huge role in that. Now, going into the future, I don't know what we'll do. We might start a vaccination cycle soon. If there's some new research that comes out that puts my mind at ease, I might completely change my mind. I'm not like ride or die for this, but it's something I've not wanted to share just because, I don't know, maybe it feels a bit vulnerable. And I know it's not a very popular topic. I know lots of people would passionately disagree with me, but I would say a lot of my decision actually comes more from a research perspective. Yes, a lot of bias, obviously. I have my own biases completely, more than a kind of emotive perspective. So that means me being pregnant also, not going to get the flu jab. If there's a COVID vaccine coming out, there's no way on earth I'm getting that. I don't get vaccines in pregnancy, whooping cough, those kind of things. In the past, I have gotten vaccines when traveling to places like Cambodia or India, or when going to places with various different things. I'm also aware that this conversation is also potentially just a result of privilege as well, in terms of picking and choosing vaccines, and in developing countries, that's not always the case. But it's just a wider issue than what we think. But my conclusion is just question things. And that is probably leads on to the second thing that the second point that it's maybe obvious in what I speak about, but I don't ever really state it clearly, just because I think it could probably make people feel anxious about how I practice as a holistic nutritionist. But my general philosophy is I really do trust Mother Nature. I trust my body. I trust the environment more than I trust pharmaceutical companies or big food companies or even big government policies. So there is a good level of distrust that I have developed through my own experience and research and just watching and listening and seeing where things are going in the world. It's not to say that I'm not really grateful for things like the NHS and for our national health service, and I've benefited from it. You know, I'm about to have twins and they will be born in a hospital for free, and if anything happens to them, I know that the doctors and nurses will do everything they can to save their lives, and I am so grateful for that. I think every country should have that, and it's amazing. But in terms of other aspects, I again just question things. That's essentially, I suppose, what I'm saying is I'm just a questioner. I don't take things. If someone's saying, oh, you need to, because yeah, I've been getting tons of texts about getting the flu jab. I'm like, why? And what's the research for that? I go away, I look at the Cochrane study, which is like a systematic review of various studies. And I'm not that convinced by the evidence looking at the flu jab. So I don't have it. That's kind of how my brain works. Or I look at certain, certain medications, and I look at, okay, where's the benefit of this? Okay, this drug has a huge benefit and improves someone's quality of life. Yes, there are some side effects, but the benefit outweighs the side effects. Great. That's how I look at medications. But if a drug's benefits don't outweigh the side effects, then it's not something I'm personally going to take. So I'm not anti-drugs or anti-pharmaceuticals. They are life-saving. I've seen heavy, heavy pharmaceuticals save a family member's life through cancer treatment, and I've witnessed them being pumped through with all the drugs, all the metals, all the hardcore chemo. And it's what I imagine is one of the reasons they are here today as part of our family. So I know I'm not that clear. I'm one of these, my brain works very holistically, but I do question everything, and I don't just blindly trust systems in front of me. I trust my body more and just question things. So yeah, that's the first thing. So you're probably listening and like, well, whatever, Kezia, big deal. Or you might be listening and totally raging. I know some people get really annoyed by people that don't vaccinate their children, in which case that's totally okay. Take a minute, feel your feelings, really think about why that is, what you're scared of, what's going on, and let's just agree to disagree, and we can still be friends and not agree on everything. Call me. The next thing that I don't really talk about, but it probably does come through, is just... or that I have maybe resistance in sharing, just because, again, I don't want people to feel excluded or, I don't know, just, it doesn't always necessarily play a huge role. Well, saying that, I actually think it plays a massive role in health, and that is spirituality. So in terms of my spiritual foundation, I grew up in a Christian home with, like, really involved in church life, that kind of being the foundation of a lot of my family and a lot of my life, and had lots of great benefit from that structure and that that framework, and it's been a huge part of my life, huge part of a lot of my family's life, and probably the last couple of years it's kind of just more evolved into a more kind of personal practice. But I would say my spiritual practice and my relationship with God and spirit and those kinds of things are actually something that really anchors everything that I do and is really a driving force for why I do what I do. I actually became a holistic nutritionist because there's this drive that everyone was created to be well, and that our bodies are created to heal as this like innate spiritual blueprint that's been placed in all of us is a really hardcore belief that I have. Now, it's not something I chat about with clients because I think it's a very personal journey and it's not really my remit as a holistic nutritionist, as an evidence-based holistic nutritionist. Your spirituality doesn't really work on an evidence-based, research, logical, you know, deductive process. It's, for me, it's more about experiencing and cultivating a relationship with something bigger and higher. I call that God and spirit and, you know, all of these other words. But that is a huge part of my well-being, actually. And it really anchors me. It helps lower my cortisol levels and is a driving force of why I do what I do. And also my own kind of healthcare routines, actually, is, yeah, I need to eat foods that do me good and move my body and support my thyroid and my digestion and my gut and my poop and all of these kinds of things. But I also really need to tend to my spirit and to my soul and look after that and my heart. And those things are equally important. I can eat the perfect diet and do the perfect exercise regime, but if I am disconnected from that substance, that God that connects us all, then I personally get really sick. It just doesn't work. And it's been that way since very young, with spiritual experiences and connecting with God and dreams and all of these kinds of things since a very young age. It's a really foundational thing. It's not something I talk about lots, and it's not going to be something I will talk about lots, because I think it's just not within my remit as a holistic nutritionist, but it is a really foundational part. And I know that it's often, especially coming from a more organized religious background, I'm really aware that people get preached at and told what to do and given a whole set of rules and all sorts of nonsense that kind of results from these more religious organizations. And I have no interest in promoting that, but that spirituality and having a community of people, like-minded people, or people you feel connected to, is really, really powerful. So that's the kind of second or third thing that you might not know, but underpins a lot of what I do. And I'd really encourage you to explore that. If you are not making the progress you want in your health and you keep on looking for answers, really kind of just start exploring, just asking God, whether you believe in him or her or not, just ask her some questions and be like, okay, can you show yourself to me? Are you real? Are you there? What is this? Give me a sign. You know, just start chatting. I'm a fan of just chatting and see what happens. And it's really grounds me and has helped a lot with my mental health and my physical health for sure. So that's one thing. The next thing I suppose that I don't want to talk about is that I don't have a 100% success rate with clients. I'd really love to, meaning every single client I work with came to me and got totally transformed and, air quotes, fixed. I'd probably say I have 90-95% success and progress rate, but there is always a small percentage of people that is either more complicated than I realize, or sometimes people, I can't control people. Like, as a holistic nutritionist, I cannot make choices for other people. And some people don't want to make choices to look at things or to change things, or are very slow to act, slow to bring change, question everything. Their mental health sometimes can get involved or get not in the way, but can hinder progress. And that's just something I've had to kind of deal with. I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I'll put it like, you might be like, Kezia, 95% success rate is great. I'm like, what about that 5%? Because I honestly do really think we all deserve to feel good and to be well. And that is the driving force of what I do. Yes, I run a business and I charge money and I work for profit, but really the underpinning value is that we all deserve to wake up and to feel good. And I want to do whatever I can to help someone on that process and that journey. But I've also got to honor the fact that I'm not the be-all and end-all. I don't know everything. Sometimes people need to go and see doctors, consultants. I feel like I tell a lot of my clients to go and get therapy. Some clients need trauma therapy because their symptoms are coming from some sort of like post-traumatic stress. Some clients really need to get out of relationships, move out of their moldy house, these kinds of things. And if a client's not willing to do that, there really is a limit to what I can do. I remember having a client where I'm pretty convinced she had loads of allergic reactions, and it sounded like her house had a lot of mold in it. And obviously telling someone to move out of their house is, it's not my role to do, but that I think was really one of the key factors. She was just constantly getting mold exposure every day, every night while she slept. And she really didn't make, she made some progress, but she really just kept on, her allergies just kept on getting worse. And that was just a good example of, you know, I can point out that there's a lot of mold and we can run tests to show that your body is basically being poisoned by mycotoxins, but that's a choice you have to make. Or another client where obviously there was just a lot of high stress, high anxiety, a lot of low moods going on. And I think I was really feeling that they needed to just go and talk to someone and get some counseling and some therapy. But there was a lot of resistance to doing that. And actually, I feel like really stilted their progress. And that's happened in various ways a lot. A lot of the time clients are totally up for it and they're like, anything to make me feel better. If you say I should go and explore therapy, then they'll go and explore that and decide for themselves. But it is, as a recovering perfectionist, it is something I don't know. I suppose I come on here and I'm always very positive in telling you all the good news stories, but I suppose it's worth being realistic in that not everyone makes the progress that they want, and there can be lots of reasons for that. And it genuinely makes me sad when that happens. Like, I don't work, like every client I work with, I really want them to get the results that they want, just because when you feel good, your whole life changes. Like, it really does. And it's such a gift. Our health is such a gift. And you don't realize that until it fades slightly, that actually it really is the foundation for everything. The only reason you can parent or work or love somebody well is because you have the energy and the mental cognition and the mental health and the physicality to hug them, to love them. Even recently being bedbound for forever, well, 3 months with this pregnancy where I was unable to really function or move or eat or do anything, it was such a reminder of, actually, I take so many things for granted in my health, and my health is the foundation for everything. Like, I couldn't parent my son very well. Like, I could barely read him a story while he lay with me in bed and we watched some TV, but I wasn't really showing up for him. His behavior changed, his sleep got worse. He noticed, he felt the disconnect from me. And our health is just everything. It's so important. And that's kind of why I do question everything. I really have experienced, and I experience with my clients all the time, how much these symptoms and health issues can really detract from the life that we want to live and the dreams that we have and the visions that we have and how well we can love people, how well we can serve people, how well we can impact and nurture and nourish the world around us is really impacted by simply like how much energy you have, how much pain you're in, how well your body functions, how well your brain, how clear is your thinking, how resilient is your mental health, how good is your immunity. Because if those things are struggling, then it does impact your whole life and how you show up in the world. So that's kind of why sidetrack. I'm super passionate about it. And then the final thing that I haven't talked about much, I suppose, on here is just the whole area of white privilege that has been highlighted more recently in kind of media and in the news, but has been an issue for millennia, as we all have no small bits of history where we have enslaved people with different color skin to us and dehumanized them for our own benefit as people of white skin. And that is something I've been aware of for many years, and I've just been very slowly trying to dismantle and take ownership of my own response to that, my own defensiveness, my own ignorance, my own part in the racist culture that we have created, and the white privilege that I have actually helped to create inadvertently, just from a lack of awareness and from the very essence of what privilege is, if that makes sense, the whole aspect of privilege that you don't know you have it because you are privileged, if that makes sense. I think it was Brené Brown had someone on, she was interviewing, and they described it as like, it's like being wet your whole life and suddenly someone telling you you're wet. That's kind of this racist culture and the white privilege that we live in, is we don't notice it because we've had it our whole lives. But the reality is we're wet, but we've just been wet our whole lives, if that makes sense. I found that analogy helpful. So that's something I'm not an educator on that. I'm not an expert on it, but it is something I'm aware of in terms of my own life, in raising my children, in my own thinking, even in how I run my business, these kinds of things. And it's a humbling and kind of heartbreaking process to go through, just as I take responsibility for myself, which taking radical responsibility for your actions, for your health, for your body, is sometimes not the easiest pill to swallow, but I do think it is really powerful. So that's the final thing. And those are all the things that I could think of that I was like, oh, what are some of the things I really don't want to talk about on a podcast? That would be the list. I'm sure in future there'll be other things, but for now, I hope that's helpful, giving you a bit of an insight to my brain. I suppose it's a bit of a selfish podcast, and that I'm just kind of explaining my brain to you and how it works. But hopefully that can help you understand me a bit better, get to know me a little bit more. Know that I am perfectly aware that we'll probably not have the same views and beliefs and values. And that's okay. I think it's actually really important that we surround ourselves with people that think differently to us and believe different things to us, and that we really have diversity of not just skin color, but also of beliefs and viewpoints. Just like within the gut, like within the body, like within your gut microbiome, diversity is what you want. You want a healthy body is driven by a healthy, diverse, resilient gut microbiota. And it's the same in our lives. You know, we need that kind of diversity of opinion and stimulating of thinking and all of those kinds of things. So if you have any questions on anything I've shared with you, then do let me know. If you don't agree with anything that I've said, that's totally fine, but you don't necessarily need to let me know unless you've got a question or it would be helpful in that. But if you don't agree, that's fine. Know that I love you. I'm so grateful that you're here and that you took the time to listen. And I will check in with you next week.